small town music. This is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away, a song away, a song away.
Hey everybody, welcome to Rock Solid, the comedy podcast for all things music, both new and classic. I'm Pat Francis.
And I'm Marie Valeriano.
That's close.
No, but I'll put that one at the end.
All right, I'm faking energy this morning. All give right. It to me, will you? Oops, sorry.
All right.
I just moved your table.
It's
this
fine.
Is a disaster. Do you just want me to go home? I'll go home.
No, we got to do this. Okay. Well, it's going to be a disaster because it's Lou Reed, in the 80s.
Oh, well, I will say this, and I said this before when I told you. I was like, I was surprised. I was pleasantly surprised at times.
No, I was too.
A few albums I knew, a couple I did not know.
There's six albums in the 80s.
Oh, really?
Pretty good run. Yeah.
I know I had covered five.
No, you
did. I cover all six?
Yeah, you covered all six.
What am I missing?
The songs come from two box sets. So these are the 2016 and 2015 remasters. So it's going to sound as good as it can sound. Like if you say, man, that Lou Reed didn't sound too good. Well, that's as good as it can sound.
Well, isn't that what everybody says when they see Lou, when they hear
kinda
Lou Reed?
They kind of do. But no, this is going to be a wild episode because it goes from some amazing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
To some horrible things, mm-hmm. like in an instant.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm a Lou Reed fan. Do you like Lou Reed?
I like Lou Reed a lot. I like Velvet Underground better, but I like Lou Reed a lot.
The consistency is not there.
How many albums did the Velvet Underground have? I meant to look that up before I got here.
Let me look it up.
A handful.
Right now, Aaron Kahn's raising his hand.
I know. He's going ballistic.
I know. He's.
I was supposed to look that up this morning, but I took a nap after I dropped Frank off at school.
See, I have a computer in front of me, so. I bet not many, though, right?
Right.
Okay, discography. Here we go. We're talking studio albums.
Yeah, yeah.
It looks like they have six studio albums. Six, The Velvet Underground and Nico.
Mm-hmm.
White Light, White Heat.
Mm-hmm.
The Velvet Underground.
Mm-hmm.
Loaded.
Mm-hmm.
And Squeeze. Is that six? No, 1, 2, 3, 4. That's only five.
Yeah.
It's five.
So I like Velvet Underground and Nico and... crap, the second to last one.
All right. And
Loaded are my two favorite Velvet Underground albums.
I don't even know. This last one, I don't even know if it counts.
Didn't they do one '94 or something like that?
This one's called Squeeze, the Velvet Underground album in '73, but none of the original people seem to be on it.
Mm.
I don't know.
I kind of lost it there.
I don't really know anything about the Velvet Underground mm-hmm. other than the players that came from the band.
Sure.
That's all I really know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I care to know.
All right. Well, we're not talking about the Velvet Underground. Yeah. My point is,
yes.
You have five, maybe six Velvet Underground albums. How many fucking Lou Reed albums? There's like 23 solo albums or something like that.
Let me check that out.
Okay.
That's interesting. Let's find out how many Lou Reed solo albums.
I mean, five in the 80s, six in the 80s alone.
Yeah, we're talking about six of them. Pretty consistently releasing albums, too, in the 80s.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm looking up the... This is Breaking Bad. This
I know, I should have done this part of the research and I went back to bed instead.
This is 22 studio albums.
Yeah, there you go. So.
From 1972 all the way up to 2011, if you're going to count
The Metallica album?
Lulu one. Otherwise, it was 2007 by himself.
That Metallica album was terrible.
I really think the last true Lou Reed solo album was 2003, though, The Raven. Because I don't know what this Hudson River Wind Meditations is. That can't fucking possibly be any good. There's no way that can possibly... And Metal Machine Music is in there. It's fucking unlistenable. But then some good stuff. And we're going to start with the first album from the 80s, released in 1980. I believe this is his, his first release? No, it's not his first release on Arista Records.
No, that's the next one, I think, right?
No, this might be his last release on Arista Records. Yes.
He switches. I know he switches labels in the 80s.
Yeah, but this is his last release on Arista Records after a run that for me isn't great. But this one is one of my favorite Lou Reed albums, top to bottom. I can listen to this one top to bottom. I really do like it. But I'm going to start with you. The album is called Growing Up in Public, produced by Lou Reed and Michael Fanfara. Does he have any gold or platinum albums? I mean, did any of his solo stuff earn a gold album?
Oh, I don't know. Only one single charted.
Yeah, let me see what as far as sales. Oh, wow. Okay. One of the albums we're going to play today went gold.
Okay.
And that Gold in the USA, and then everything else. Just
really, I would imagine it was New York. Which one went gold?
Well, I was going to wait till we got to
it. Oh, sorry.
It was New York.
Okay.
Good call though, Murray.
All right.
All right. What's your first song?
Well, first of all, I wasn't familiar with this album at all.
Yeah. A lot of people aren't. So I'm hoping that the four songs we play cause people to go and stream it or listen to it.
I loved it. I love it too.
I
was telling Pat, I would go back and forth. I'm like, oh, Mistrial is great. Ah, Growing Up in Public is great. Now Growing Up in Public. Oh, well, you know, I forgot New York. There's one I'm absolutely out on, but I really like this one.
We're both out on the same one.
I really like this one. And I also notice his opening tracks are always really good.
Yeah.
He tries to start it, and then bam, you get the real Lou Reed for the next nine.
And then he fucks you.
So let's go with the opening track of How Do You Speak to an Angel?
How do you speak to an angel? This is a great
tune. 111.
What do you do with your pragmatic passions, with your classically neurotic style? How do you deal with your vague self-comprehensions? What do you do when you lie? How do you speak to her? How do you speak to the prettiest girl? How do you speak to her? How do you dance on the head of a pin when you're on the outside looking in?
Right. There's so much great orchestration and production in that.
Production's great. I mean, his voice is always going to be an acquired taste.
Yeah, but
sometimes really works. And then, I think it works there.
I think it works there really well.
That's a universal theme. You, how do you talk to this girl that you like?
Right.
You know, it's, you know.
And an angel. How do you talk to an angel?
Oh, my God. Maybe he's.
What was that song from the 90s? How do you talk to an angel? How do you speak to an angel?
Who was that? Was that like Edwin McCain or something?
No, it was for...
It
was for that TV show.
Yeah. It's Jamie Walters, I think.
Was the name of the person who did it? I'll look it up.
I have the song.
The song's terrible. Of course you have it.
I know I have that song. We're going to see him
at the Canoga Bowl next week.
Here we go. It was from the TV show The Heights.
Yeah. All right. Oh, we're playing it?
Yeah. That's what I like about having such an expansive iTunes library, that when the song comes up, hopefully I can find and play it. I like this song.
I hear a voice in my mind.
1992, folks.
I know her face by heart. Heaven and earth.
This went to number one.
In my soul.
Better than Lou Reed ever did.
I don't know where to start. Tell me the words to define.
I like this better than a lot of films from the 90s.
The way I feel about.
And this is the actor singing, right?
So yeah, Jamie Walters.
The band was The Heights.
How do you talk to an angel?
And then he had another song. They're going to play it out.
Oh, he did? I mean, that is 90s barfed all over that. That could have been Edwin McCain or whoever.
This was 2 years later. It was not that. Here we go. 2 years later, he had this song called Hold On. Let's hear what this sounds like.
I don't want to see you ever soon.
It's fine.
Right.
It's no How Do You Talk to an Angel.
How do you talk to an angel? Is no how do you talk to an angel?
When it's all too much, you need some human touch.
So Lou Reed's is How Do You Speak to an Angel?
Yes.
And that song's How Do You Talk to an Angel?
Way to avoid copyright infringement, Walters. So you guys did Lou Reed today. What'd you learn about Lou Reed? Nothing, but I learned a lot about The Heights.
Oh, I'm going to go binge that show tonight.
I don't think I've ever seen an episode of
that. That show's nowhere to be binged.
It was during that like teen drama, Beverly Hills 90210.
I think it might have been a spinoff of one.
Oh, really?
Of those. Yeah.
Okay.
Because Jamie Walters was Tori Spelling's boyfriend for some season or something for a time on 90210.
I got into 90210, I think, for like a season and a half. I was all into it, and then I just kind of...
Yeah, I was all into it,
then
too.
It turned into a soap opera.
Into Melrose Place.
Oh, I never got into Melrose Place.
Yeah.
I did do
I'm not going to say hot chicks. I'm going to say beautiful women on Melrose Place.
Oh, yeah.
Hot chicks.
Beautiful women on Beverly Hills 90210. I did a glorified.
Are we going to whisper now the things that we can't say in 2024? We're just going to whisper.
Oh, yeah,
now, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, because yeah, the woke can't hear whispering.
Nice boobs. Nice boobies. Okay. We're through one song already.
Well, three if you count the heights.
Well, that's true. You want to pivot and make this episode all about the heights? We'll go track by track through that album. People will tune in. They'll see the artwork for Lou Reed, and then they'll go, what the fuck did these guys
Jimmy
do?
Jimmy Walters, man.
I swear, I almost want to do that, but I'm not going to because we prepared this, and it's hard getting you up here because of your schedule.
Oh, well, I'm glad to be here.
All right. I think I'm kind of, as I'm a bachelor here at the house with Pilar gone, and I've been having people over to the house for movie nights from work. And
have you told people about the divorce yet?
There's no divorce. Just celebrated 26 years of marriage. Mm-hmm. It's at least 18 happy years.
Okay. What is 26? What's the, it's not gold. It's not silver.
Smashing.
Wait, smashing as in anger or smashing as in what the kids are saying?
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to whisper that.
Yeah. Oh, smashing.
Smashing.
I don't know if 26. Okay. Now I got
to
look at
26 has
it.
To have. They all have
they
something.
They all have something. Well,
they all have something.
I know I sent her an orchid. So okay. That's what, because my wife does not like cut flowers.
Okay.
She thinks it's a waste.
Oh, okay.
She likes something in a pot that she can nurture and keep alive for as long as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Like me. Okay. So. 26th wedding and I assume this is just going to tell me what it is.
I think it's gonna be like paper because 25 I think is a big deal.
Okay.
Wood.
What is the traditional gift for 26 years of marriage? It says pictures. Is that right?
I guess so.
What represents 26 years? Jade.
Oh, okay.
Jade is the whatever stone for that.
Green.
She didn't get any of that.
Mm-hmm.
She got an orchid. All right. So anyway, what I was going to say is like, sometimes at work, like I always work at night.
Yeah.
2 to 10. And sometimes like, around, sometimes right when I get there, sometimes around 8 o'clock, someone will go, can we go to your house tonight, watch a movie? Can we go to your house tonight and play charades? Can we go to your house tonight and hang out? And I say, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I would literally have to be so tired to say no. Because I just say yeah.
Right.
And then we come over and, you know, someone brings some snacks, someone brings some beer, and then I got booze.
Out
the boozoo.
So, I saw that big table of booze down there.
I know. That's why it's out. You walk in and you see that and you go, this guy's
living the bachelor life.
Or this guy's got a little bit of a problem. So... one of my favorite songs on this album is The Power of Positive Drinking.
Ah, really?
I love it.
Oh, it sounds like a Carrie Fisher book.
Yeah. Rock and peace, Carrie Fisher Lou Reed.
Oh, yeah. Not together, though. It wasn't a murder-suicide.
Here we go.
We don't think.
Some like wine and some like hops. But what I really love is my scotch. It's the power of positive drinking. Some people ruin their drinks with ice, and then they ask you for advice. They tell you, I've never told this to anyone else before. They say candy is dandy, but liquor makes quipsters.
By the way, this was the single that they released.
Sisters or sob sisters.
This is terrible.
You know, you have to be real.
I like it.
Sit down.
This is like,
days.
I love it.
This is like a Sesame Street was in Hell's Kitchen. You know, it's like a Sesame Street song.
Libidos and other.
Let's get to the chorus.
To prop up their egos. It's my burden, man. People say I have the kind of face you can trust. The power of positive drinking.
Power of positive drinking.
Pow.
I know. I love it. I get it. I can't argue it. I can't say you're wrong. I would never say that, but I do like that
song. Okay, that's fine. I don't want to take away the joy of anybody who gets joy from music, unless it's Bon Jovi. So I'm with you.
So this Growing Up in Public album, there's a lot of I Hate My Dad songs on these. So we never want our kids to listen to these albums and go, hey, kind of relate. All right.
Dad, I wrote a song.
You picked the title track.
I did pick the title track. I like the title track a lot. I like the title track.
I don't skip any songs on this album.
I do.
I know.
The power of positive drinking. The power of positive skipping.
This is Growing Up in Public.
Some people enter the power of power. The absolute corrupting power that makes great men insane. While some people find their refreshment in action. The manipulation, encroachment, and destruction of their inferiors. Growing up in public. Growing up in public. Growing up in public. Growing up in public with your pants down. Some people
growing up in public with your pants down.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, with your pants down. Your
pants down. So not to beat a dead horse, but we had how do you talk to an angel?
Yeah.
And then
how do you speak?
How do you speak to an angel?
Yeah.
How do you talk to an angel? Right.
Okay.
And then Melissa Etheridge's book over there. Talking to my angels.
Oh, I just finished that book 2 days ago. It's very sad.
Oh, really?
Because her son dies of opioid addiction.
Uh-huh.
It's very sad because they do. You know when you think, did they do as much as they could to help him?
Right.
Man, they did.
Yeah.
And it so difficult.
Way to bring the podcast down.
I know, Jesus. But you pointed.
Well, I didn't know who it was going to be. I was just running with a theme.
Her first book, The Truth Is both books are good, but this one is sad.
Yeah,
this one's so hard.
Yes, we've made that point.
Especially if you have a kid.
Right.
Oh, it's rough. All right.
Anyway, let's go back to Lou Reed singing about AIDS.
Yeah. All right. Also,
are you going to go on about his book?
About what book? No.
Okay, good.
I'm done with it.
That was sad.
I had to move, and from that book, I had to move on. Now I'm reading Colin Jost's book, A Very Punchable Face, because these rock bios are so filled with drugs and despair that between each one, I've been reading a book by a comedian.
Okay.
So I did Tina Fey. I did Molly Shannon. Who else did I do? I'm doing Colin Jost. But yeah, because I can't read them back to back to back.
Sure. I get it. I'm in the middle. Mike Drew gave me Billy Connolly's biography. I'm in the middle of that right now.
I know. He gave it to me and I handed it off.
Yeah. Thanks, Mike. I haven't really reached out to say I'm enjoying it. Good job, Mike.
That's my Canadian accent. Good job, Mike.
Yeah. Well, you need drugs and despair and depression to get good music.
I guess.
You know, you need a punchable face to get so-so comedy.
Let me tell you something. I never did any drugs and you got good music from me.
Good.
Songs about my penis.
Good.
Love Gun.
What is it? I'm a dancer. She's a cancer. What is it?
She's a dancer, a romancer. I'm a Capricorn and she's a cancer. She's good looking and she's looking like she should be good. What?
What? So that was one of my favorite worst lyrics of all time.
I think the worst lyric is, girl, I can make you feel okay. So you're not a very attentive lover.
It's either you having sex with you or aspirin.
Yeah.
Okay. Who is that? Kiss also?
That's also Kiss.
Oh, that's really, I don't know. I just don't like Kiss across the board, but I can't pull more than.
That's a line in Love Gun, actually.
Is it?
Girl, I can make you feel.
You know what my all-time least favorite lyric is from the Rolling Stones?
What?
She blew my mind. She blew my nose and then she blew my mind.
She blew my, is that what the lyric is?
Uh-huh.
What song is that?
That's got to be. Is it Honky Tonk Woman?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to look it up.
Maybe I got it wrong. That would be embarrassing.
No, I hope you did.
I know.
Okay. Honky Tonk Woman. We're not getting to any of these songs today. Lyrics. Hold on. All right. I'm talking to myself.
That's okay. I'm right here.
All right. Here we go. Honky Tonk Woman. She blew my nose. Bum, bum, bum. Da, 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 da. Da, da, da. All right. I hate when the lyric page is like broken up with a bunch of ads.
How long is this taking?
It's taking a long time. She blew my nose and then she blew my mind. Yeah,
terrible.
Got it. Yeah,
terrible.
Terrible lyric.
Terrible.
All right. This
also another terrible
really?
Lyric.
We're not gonna...
My last one.
Okay.
Why not? Generals gathered in their masses. Just like witches at black masses.
Don't rhyme this.
You can't rhyme the same word.
I don't like Black Sabbath.
Oh, you don't?
I like them with Dio.
Oh, that's so funny. Really?
I just like that song. That's War Pigs, right?
Yeah.
I don't like that song at all.
Oh, really?
It's not even a song.
You know who does a great version of that?
Don't fucking rhyme the same word.
Oh, I'm with you.
Word.
That's the reason I hate it.
But Cake does a live version of that, and it's fantastic.
It probably is.
It's fantastic.
I don't know why Black Sabbath with Ozzy is just a dirge to me. Like, yeah. And then when Ozzy goes solo, I love it. Like,
that's why I figured you would like Sabbath.
No, I like Ozzy solo more than Dio solo, and I like Black Sabbath more with Dio than I like him with Ozzy.
How many Dio albums did Sabbath? You know, Sabbath, two or three?
They did three called Black Sabbath, and then I know a story that someone told me in private.
You have to whisper it.
No, I don't know if I can tell it because the person who told me is still alive.
And yeah, maybe.
They told me off mic.
Yeah, maybe. If it's off mic.
So then the next time they recorded with Dio, they had to call it Heaven and Hell.
Okay.
So even though it's the same lineup as the Black Sabbath albums with Dio, they weren't allowed to call it Black Sabbath.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
If you remind me when we're done, I'll tell you
what. Yeah. I just saw a meme today from The Onion that said, the only thing man brings to the party is his something about his defense of Dio and Black Sabbath or something like that. The only thing he has to offer to this party.
I can't think of anything that you could not talk to with your wife and my wife. Like if we sit down, if you were having dinner with your wife one night and you go, I'm going to tell you about Dio and Ozzy.
Mm-hmm.
How soon does she tune you out?
She's good about that stuff, but she'll
just out of nowhere. She'll usually
remind me that how much I can take the fun out of music. That's whatever.
Okay.
Or she'll do that like nerd push-up glasses and go, oh really? Oh really? Dio was the,
oh boy.
So she'll make fun of me, but she's a big music fan too. So she gets it.
All right, here we go.
All right.
This is our fourth and final song from Growing Up in Public, an album we both like.
An hour in.
We recommend this song.
Oh yeah. I recommend this album very much. So
23 minutes in. I think this is a beautiful song. This is called Think It Over.
Mm-hmm.
I love this one.
Wake, he stared raptly at her face. On his lips, her smell, her taste. Black hair framing her perfect face.
Now imagine someone that can sing like,
yeah,
that has that kind of a voice to sing this. He doesn't have it, but the words are beautiful. I'm going to keep going.
Okay.
I'm not done.
Okay.
With her wonderful mind and her incredible grace. And so he woke her with a start to offer her his heart once and for all, forever to keep. And the words that she first heard him speak were really very sweet. He was asking her to marry him and to think it over. Baby, think it over.
That's really nice.
Yeah, it's nice.
It is a really nice song.
He wakes her up and asks her to marry her and says, think it over. And the reason she has to think it over is because a junkie is asking her if she wants to get married. So she's got to think, do I want to marry a junkie?
A junkie bisexual.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now Lou Reed is one of these guys, like let's say a Bruce Springsteen.
Okay.
That gets a pass from all critics all the time, it seems, for the most part.
Yeah, we discussed that. Yeah. They definitely do give him, do you think Springsteen gets a pass? They definitely give Lou Reed a pass.
I think Springsteen gets a pass. There's some Springsteen albums that I don't care for, and it'll be a 5-star album.
Just out of curiosity, I don't want you to shit on Springsteen, but which ones don't you care for?
I don't like those solo dark albums. Ghosted Tom Joad.
Yeah.
Devils in Dust.
Okay, I'm not
familiar. Nebraska. Like all those, I can pull like three songs or four that I like.
Nebraska's the one. Like people love Nebraska.
People love it, but yeah, I don't. What the?
Yeah, I have Nebraska. Nebraska. I didn't buy the first Bruce Springsteen album I ever bought was The Rising, but I had Nebraska. I'd acquired.
I think The Rising has too many songs on it. It's got 15 songs. It's got about 4 or 5 songs too many.
Yeah, I agree. I love that album, and I saw that tour.
I saw that tour too, I believe. And then
Dodger Stadium?
No, maybe I didn't see that tour.
Okay.
What was the other thing I was going to say? If everyone says they love Nebraska, but then the follow up was Born in the USA.
Oh yeah.
You
know, okay.
He was like, I feel like it was like, yeah, that we let you do that, Bruce.
Right.
Now you need to give us something.
Yeah. I know. So. Joe Reynolds commented on. I was like, why did you wait so long to get a Bruce Springsteen? And I'm like, well, I grew up in Jersey. I might as well have had all the albums. I heard Bruce Springsteen everywhere I went. Yeah. So I knew everything. I just never really bought it.
Yeah. Okay, we're moving on. We're moving on to here. This is the one that you and I both hate.
A whole album of Siegel Stinkeroos.
The Blue Mask is what it's called. Cool album cover.
I mean, do you think it's just a blue version of Transformer.
Oh, you're right. It is. I never realized that.
Right?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. So it makes me wonder if he really phoned this one in.
Okay. Chicago Tribune gave this 5 out of 5.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Goes Record Guide, A. Rolling Stone, 5 stars.
Oh, yeah.
The New Rolling Stone Guide, 4.5. Spin, 4 stars. Spin Alternative Record Guide, 9 out of 10. I mean, there's no way.
Yeah, yeah.
I disagree highly with all of that.
Again, it's like you said, they give him such a pass. And, you know, I mean, I'm not necessarily against it. You know what I mean? Like, it's Lou Reed. It is who he was in one of the most influential bands of all time.
Yeah.
I think he deserves a pass. I do. Doesn't necessarily mean I need to listen to this T2B all the time.
No.
But I think he deserves a little bit of a pass. Again, I've said this about Lou Reed before, and I'll say it again. 50 something years of being a professional singer, and not once did he get any better.
No.
He never got better.
Didn't get better. Maybe
even
get,
if you can accidentally get better after doing something for 50 years.
I mean, he maybe didn't get worse either, but he just didn't get better.
That's a good point.
Although there is an album coming up where I think he tries. A couple albums later after this.
Yeah, there's an interesting turn in these albums. Did you notice it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, there's a big time.
But no different producers though, which I found really interesting.
Yeah, they just said, let's try this sound.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so you picked from...
What did I pick off the Blue Mask?
You picked Women.
Yes, I did.
This is the single. This is the single.
Again, this is one of those songs where I was like, this song is terrible. Oh, I really like this song.
This might be the only one I like on this album.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But it's really kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, let's hear it.
I feel like he's overcompensating. Yeah, he leaves that part out.
Yep.
Men, not boys.
I used
we don't
to
wanna...
look yeah. at women yeah. in the magazines. I know that it was sexist, but I was in my teens. I was very bitter.
I don't think that's sexist.
No.
All right, kill it.
Okay.
Wait, let's discuss. Do you think looking at girly magazines and a teenager is sexist? I don't think it's sexist. Listen. We don't need to say this. Everybody knows us. We're both pro women. We're both very,
yes.
We're both basically part one of the girls. Right. I don't think that's sexist. Do you?
No, it's what a teenage boy would do.
This is 1984, three?
80, no.
Two?
Yes.
Okay. Two.
82.
So yeah, I don't know if it's sexist to look at girly magazines.
82. I was 18 years old.
I was definitely looking at girly magazines if my friend's brother had one.
Yeah, I mean, I was in college, and of course, a guy had a Playboy magazine. You're like, hey, throw that over here.
Oh, dude, we had to like...
Let me take a look at that.
Like our friend's older brother would tell, there's one in the woods.
Yeah,
behind the,
there's one in the woods.
Walk in, turn
there's
left.
There's one in the woods.
And it's under the pile of leaves.
Oh my God,
and we would go and dig it up.
And it would be the worst. When someone said there was a magazine in the woods, it wasn't like Playboy. It was like...
What deviant fucking... It was always Playboy.
No, it was like some gross title. Like Wee or Cherry or some...
Oh, we used to see those in New York City. Yeah. Swank.
Yeah, Swank
was one. Yeah, yeah.
Something that was too much.
Black Tail.
Yeah, too much for a teenage boy's eyes.
Yeah.
You might be right.
We always got Playboy, but walking around New York, we saw those really dark ones for sure.
All right. My first song from the Blue Mask, and again... Women is my favorite song, I think, on this album. This is My House.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Here we go.
Hey, you! It's a Seagull Stinkeroo.
The image of the poets in the breeze.
What the fuck?
Canadian geese are flying above the trees.
Oh, great.
Mist is hanging gently on the lake. My house is very beautiful at night.
Nonsense.
My friend and teacher occupies a spare room.
Oh my, you know, he's just singing what's happening in his everyday life. I poured some creamer in my coffee.
Right, it's just full sentences.
There's no song there.
I really think Morrissey got his kind of lyrical style from Lou Reed, because he does the same thing. It'll be no rhymes, just an extended sentence that goes past the stanza.
Black coffee makes me feel bad. I mean, it's just, shut up. The other single was the title track, The Blue Mask, and neither one of us picked that. I think there's even a video for those two songs.
Okay.
I remember seeing those on MTV. But you picked...
I enjoyed Heavenly Arms.
Okay.
This might be the one I like off this album.
All right. Maybe I like this one too, but you picked it so I couldn't. So let's find out.
Bring that in at what?
Opening. I got all the... Arms, reach out to hold me.
See, that one sounds exactly like another song. It sounds exactly like...
I thought the same thing. Play it again. I'll tell you what it is. Yeah, yeah.
It sounds like the Satellite one.
Satellite
of Love. Yes, it sounds exactly like it. Let's start at the beginning. It's the same thing. Melody.
Heavenly arms.
Oh, yeah. Look at that.
To Mars. Okay.
Yeah, I didn't think that. I thought something else.
Heavenly arms entice you.
Nine out of 10, 5 stars.
Yeah. But who else is doing what he's doing? You know what I mean? Nobody really is.
Do you want anyone to?
No, but that's why I think, you know, I think Lou Reed gets a pass.
He's quintessential New York.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, no doubt about it. Him and the Ramones. And other artists too. But when I think of New York, his music makes me feel like sometimes like just dirty and grimy.
Yeah,
and walking
yeah.
through the trash and
the
rats.
Good New York.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, okay.
I heard Jesse Malin tell a story one time.
Lou Reed's story?
No, Ramones.
Okay.
The U2 was playing Saturday Night Live.
1, 2, 3, 4.
And they had Jesse Malin.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Bono called Jesse Malin.
Okay.
And Joey Ramone is like, come down to SNL, you know, and we'll go to the party afterwards. And at the party, Jesse says, Joey just cornered Lauren and was like, why don't you have us on your, we're fucking New York. Why don't you have us on Saturday
Night
Live?
They've never been on, right?
We're the biggest New York, we're the all New York. Why don't you have us on?
He's right.
Yeah, yeah.
They never had him on, did they?
Nope.
I would love to see a list of bands that have never been on Saturday Night Live. It would probably boggle the mind.
Lauren Michaels is a doucher.
Even Cheap Trick was on.
Oh, they were?
Yeah, they were on in 81, the bad season. With the, you know.
Oh, with going,
yeah, just... Charles Rocket and all that.
Oh, yeah. Who was the guy with the flat top?
I don't even know.
There were a couple of bad seasons on there. Yeah,
but that was like I think they were on the first season after Lorne left.
Oh, Lorne left because what's-his-face took over? Guy for the head of sports.
No, Gene DeMannion took over first, and then Bill Ebersole came
in. Oh, Ebersole. Oh, there was a guy between him and Dick Ebersole.
It was a woman.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, now we know why it's not funny.
I talk about this all the time. Who do you think... If Saturday Night Live continues after Lorne retires, Lorne's 75 years old.
And he said he's not retiring anytime soon. Right. I just saw a Reddit interview.
Who would be your... I have someone that I think I would like to take it over if they decide to continue it.
I say kill it.
Oh, yes. I'm not against that either.
Right. Tina Fey off the top of my head.
Yes, that's exactly who I was thinking. Tina Fey.
Yeah.
Tina Fey, Mike Myers, maybe.
Oh, I don't know. Tina's got a good track record.
Tina's got a great track record. Her book is so fucking funny. Bossy Pants. Jesus, get it, people. Every single fucking page, every line, just, I was cracked. Like, every page I would say to Pilar, honey, can I read something to you? What is it? It's from Tina Fey's book. Go ahead. I mean, but...
But the biggest thing that Lorne's doing wrong now is he's not hiring groups of friends anymore. Yeah. If you look at it, you know, when he fucking stole the whole idea from National Lampoon and stole all the cast from National Lampoon.
I don't know what you mean.
It was all, they had all worked together for years. And even like the Will Ferrell years, they were all groundlings. Those were great years.
And, him and Sherry O'Terry.
You know, and then the Billy Crystal era was with Christopher Guest. And that's my favorite season, actually, the one season Billy Crystal was on.
Oh my God, that's not a great season.
Oh, it's so
There's good sketches. They're good sketches.
It's my favorite season.
No. No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
You like, no. You like those sketches, but I bet the other sketches that you're not remembering are probably so bad.
Well, that's Saturday Night Live.
Wow, that's true.
You go back and watch, you know, the Not Ready for Primetime Players. There's some fucking stinkos in there.
When people
along
say,
with the Bass-O-Matic and
when
everything
people
else.
People say the original cast is the best. I'm like, go watch those episodes.
Yeah.
It was brand new, so we were like, this is amazing. But it's not.
And it was also, you had, you know, it wasn't even like just the cast itself. You had you had so many other comedians guesting on there, and it wasn't even formulated yet. Yeah, always that.
All right.
Anyway.
Here's my next song off the Blue Mask is The Day John Kennedy Died. Here we go.
Did I do my second one? Yeah, I did. Okay. Yep. Oh, we have to do this after every song on this album? Why didn't my two get a sticker room?
Yours were okay.
Yeah, maybe Heavenly the best Hearts ones. Good.
I dreamed I was the president of these United States. I dreamed I replaced ignorance, stupidity, and hate. I dreamed the perfect union and a perfect law undenied. Most of all, I dreamed I forgot the day John Kennedy died.
Oh boy.
I don't think it's that bad.
He's just talking.
But that's what he does.
He's not even trying on this album. How is this a 10 out of 10 album?
Again, I really think he phoned it in. And just the fact that he took an old album cover and painted it blue.
Yeah, it's very similar to that album cover, but it's not exact. I just looked it up.
Oh, really? It's not the exact one?
It's not the exact one.
Okay.
I wish it was.
It looks exactly the same to me.
I wish it was.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, you know what I forgot to look? You know, the bass player for Walk on the Wild Side just died this week.
Hmm.
And I forgot to look to see how far he went with him. I don't, because that bass kind of reminded me of that.
Good bass on that song. Mm-hmm. All right. 1 year later, he's back. Lou Reed's back with Legendary Hearts. Let's see how we get this reviewed. Chicago Tribune, 5 out of 5. Boston Phoenix, 5 out of 5. All Music, 4 out of 5. Rolling Stone, 4 out of 5. Smash Hits, 8 out of 10. Village Voice, A. I mean,
you got it. Village Voice is going to give him
all the time.
All the time.
And this album's better than The Blue Mask, because how couldn't it be?
Right. And you know, now that I'm thinking about it, this is a good album.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When I said my favorite album, you know, this is the one I went back and forth on.
And you actually picked one of the singles, and I actually picked the other single. But the first song you're going to play is not one of the singles. Tell us what it is.
Hold on. I'm looking up The Blue Mask. Oh, I don't know, dude. I have to compare them both. Bring up Transformer while we listen to the song, and I'll bring up Blue Mask, and we'll compare both of them. I brought...
it's not the same. I just looked at it. You're I swear, it's not the same.
Well, then make up my mind. Hold on. That's the name of the song.
Okay.
That's the name of the song I brought.
Okay. Here's it. I'm gonna double back on Transformer. It is the same photo.
Aha!
But on Transformer, his head's tilted, and on Blue Mask, they just straighten it out.
Okay,
that's the difference. So that's why
you're wrong.
That's why I'm wrong.
Okay, that's fair.
I'm wrong. I admit I'm wrong.
Okay.
You should do that sometimes.
When I am, I will.
All right. What's your first song, Dum Dum?
Make Up My Mind.
Make up your mind. Which one are we going
to
play?
Make up my mind at 19 seconds. Started off at 19.
You don't have to. They're pre-cued.
Sometimes you don't look good.
I didn't do this morning. I did this last night. We're all set with the cues.
Okay.
All right.
Take it from 19.
I can't seem to make up my mind.
He's singing.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell the colors that will fit this room. I can't tell a thing about you, make up my mind. I can't seem to make up my mind. Are you laughing at me or telling a joke?
Now, out. I just want to say to people, we're 41 minutes in, and if you're thinking about dipping out of this episode, seriously, if you're like, I don't know, and maybe some people did already.
Right, sure.
But if you're thinking about it, you got to hang in there, because there's some really accessible stuff coming up.
Sure. Okay.
Okay. So don't be like, I can't do this anymore.
Right. Right.
And I understand that.
This should be the soundbite you put before the theme song.
Yeah. If you're thinking about skipping out, and just give it, just wait.
Just one more album.
Just give it a chance. This is how we learn.
That's right.
We're learning today.
I also took the same approach I took when we did prog rock.
Yeah.
Like, all right, I know what I'm getting into. Let me just get into it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Just get into it.
So change your attitude, your bad attitude.
Yeah. Don't be a fucking dick.
And enjoy this next stinker from.
Yeah. All right. So this was the first single.
Mm-hmm.
There might've been a video for this. I love this song. It's Don't Talk to Me About Work.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's fun.
I almost picked this one. Yeah, it's pretty good, man.
It's so funny. In this song, he's a guy who comes home and he doesn't want his wife to talk to him about work.
Mm-hmm.
When I come home from work, I can't stop talking about my day.
Mm-hmm.
So this would be my wife's song. She would be like, probably, all right, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
You had fun today. That's fine. I understand how you live your life, Matt. Mm-hmm. All right. Your next song was the second single on this album.
My phone locked. Hold on.
Good. Don't set it on the table.
I didn't. That's why it's in my lap and it locked.
Don't tell me when to cue it up. I got it all fucking locked in.
Oh, Martial Law.
Yeah. This was the second single.
At 1 minute.
Can you imagine trying to pick singles off these albums? Christ, I don't know. Put all the song titles in a hat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we'll pick one. All right, here we go. Martial Law.
I can saw
Watch
a girl like you doing with that man. You better drop that down on the floor. And son, that is very smart. Kicking a hole in that door. Hey, will you take a look at this place and get those neighbors.
Good song.
There's a person in your other room.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's Alex.
Hey.
Alex, do you want to come through? You're allowed to.
I assume you work at Trader Joe's?
No, he just wears my shirts when I'm not around.
Okay.
I had a name tag made for him.
I have his underwear on.
Oh, my God.
Hey, Alex,
this is my friend.
I'm Murray. Nice to meet you.
This all stays in the show.
Okay.
Just so you know.
All right. Alex, how old are you? 21. 21 years old. Do you know who Lou Reed is? I don't think so. Okay, go in the other room.
Nice.
Alex,
you can come in and out whenever you want. It's fine. It's all good. I already told him that last night.
Okay.
So you can come in and out.
But if you want to close the door, you have to listen to us yap. That's cool too. You can leave it open.
I didn't even tell you that Alex was here.
The door opened by itself.
So I know. You thought it was haunted. Right?
It's already weird.
You know what? I think when the air conditioner comes on, it creates like that flow. And if that door's not shut tight, it kind of clicks open.
Oh, okay.
So he probably thought I opened the door.
Right.
And you thought he opened the door.
Yeah, yeah.
When just the airflow opened the door.
And then he just walked in.
He just walked in.
You know what? I thought this was the next album, but it's not. Robert Quine. I don't know how to say his last name.
Quine.
It's Quine. He started with the Velvet Underground, recording them live.
Okay.
And then he ended up playing guitar on all these solo albums.
Great.
And this one is where Lou Reed mixed him completely out or completely down. Oh, so wow. I think this might be the last album Robert Quine did with him on guitar.
Legendary Heart is?
Yeah, Legendary Heart.
All right. Interesting.
159 on top 200.
This album?
Yeah.
You mean that's where it debuted?
Peaked.
It peaked. And then that's why there's no gold or platinum albums for this dude.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And in keeping with the power of positive drinking, I picked the song The Last Shot.
Oh, okay.
Pour another drink. Let's drink to the last shot. And the blood on the dishes in the sink. Blood inside the coffee cup. Blood on the tabletop. But when you quit, you quit. But you always wish that you knew it was your last shot. When you quit. But you always wish that you knew it was your last shot.
That's not bad.
Yeah. How long has it been since you had a drink?
Oh, where are we? Oh, what's the date today?
September 23rd.
I quit around this time 6 years ago.
And the reason you quit was you didn't have a problem.
Mm-mm.
You weren't, you're not chemically dependent on alcohol.
No.
You weren't calling your wife bad names and...
Not because of the alcohol.
You just did it to feel healthier.
Yeah, you know, I was touring so much that, and I was drinking every night. And I wasn't drinking to excess or getting drunk every night. But, you know, I'm in a comedy club, you know, it's a glorified bar.
Yeah,
so all the booze is free.
And when I did stand up, I never drank.
Well, you weren't a big drinker until like 4 years ago.
Until like until August 12th when my wife went to North Carolina. No, keep going.
And so that was it. And so then I was also on tour with kind of a big muckety muck. And so whenever
you can't say,
well, Cristela Alonso.
Okay, she's a big muckety muck.
Yeah, yeah. And so you know people would. You know, buy us drinks and the theater manager or the club manager would show up and break out all the fancy stuff.
Let me clarify. They would buy her drinks and because you were there.
Yes.
They had to buy you.
Yeah. Yeah. So
thank you.
Yes, exactly. I'm not. And so I just decided to stop and then I just haven't gone back yet, but I'll go back eventually. I'm sure I'm down for it. I could go for a single malt scotch on the ship sometimes.
And how long has it been again? Say it one more time.
6 years. Like 6 years this week, I think.
By the way, just so people know, we're both wearing Rock Solid shirt right now. Stupid. You're wearing the Cheap Trick inspired, and I'm wearing the Ramones inspired. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I need a new one. I had to cut the sleeves off of them because it ripped.
All right. And what size do you wear?
Medium.
A medium shirt.
This is a medium. Yeah, yeah.
All right. I'll get you a new one.
Okay.
All right. Okay. So I was going to say one more thing. Oh, I want to tell people, we've been talking about doing a Lou Reed show for a long time. Like it's been years. And like at one point we were going to do the whole discography and I think you texted me and just said, this is a lot, dude. This is a lot.
Yeah, it is a lot.
You were like in the mid 70s albums and you're like, I don't know. This is, so that's why I'm like, well, let's start with these 80s albums. It's only six. It's easy.
Yeah. And I thought, cause I didn't know all six. I was familiar with three and a half maybe.
Yeah.
And so I thought they all sounded like the 80s production.
Right.
But they didn't.
No.
And are we done with the Blue Mask yet? Or are we done with Legendary Hearts?
We're done with Legendary Hearts.
It switches here.
It switches here.
But if I'm correct, like no different producers or anything. It's still Lou Reed and still one other guy.
Where did this album peak? It's called New Sensations from 1984. I was 20 years old when this one came out. I bought this on vinyl because of this song that you picked. It was a single. It was on MTV. And
side note, he had a live album between this and New Sensations. Live in Italy.
Yeah, but
I'm just throwing that in there.
Whatever.
Facts.
Where did this had to peak high?
56.
That's pretty good for Lou Reed.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's see what the critics say, because they might not like this change in style. The genre here is pop rock new wave. And he works with a new producer, John Jansen. Let's see what happens here. All Music, 4.5. Boston Phoenix, 3.5 out of 4. Chicago Tribune, 3.5 out of 4.
Mm-hmm.
Rolling Stone, 4. Spin, 8 out of 10. Village Voice, A.
Of course.
You're guaranteed to get an A from Village Voice.
He is the Village.
Right.
Lou Reed is the king of the Village.
All right. First single and your first song.
We have to dedicate it to
the concert wife, Suzanne Dillingham.
Absolutely. That's the reason I brought it.
Here we go.
And she can kind of be my concert wife now because I went and saw U2 with her.
Hmm. I think you have to log in 5 until you can have a concert wife status.
Okay.
It's kind of like the 5-timers club on Saturday Night Live.
Okay, fine.
Like on this show, you're a guest co-host until you've done it 5 times. Then I call you a co-host.
Oh, so now you have 900 co-hosts?
I know. Okay, here we go. I love you, Suzanne.
Mm-hmm.
From the top, I hope.
My heart and you made me cry. You said I couldn't dance. And now I'm back to let you know that I can really make romance. You do what you gotta do. You do everything you can. You do what you wanna do. Hey, but I love you, Suzanne. You do anything once. You try anything twice. You do what you gotta do. Hey, but I love you, Suzanne. Hey, hey.
That's just a fun song.
Oh, it's great. It's a dumb video, but it's great.
And he's singing.
Yeah.
And he's trying.
Yeah. And actually, I stand corrected. He does have a new producer on here, a guy named John Jansen.
I said that.
Oh, you did?
I did.
Oh, I was looking that up.
All right. Okay, so here's the story here. According to Wikipedia. Where did it go? Okay, guitarist Robert Quine, whatever, who played on Reed's previous two studio albums. They had a falling out with Reed during the recording of the sessions.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason is Fernando Saunders, who was providing rhythm guitar, claimed that one of the issues during recording was that Quine had personally composed the guitar riff for I Love You, Suzanne in the studio while the band was rehearsing. Upon hearing Quine's riff, Reed had written the lyrics to the song, but he didn't give mm-hmm. him songwriting credit, cutting him out of, and let's be honest, the royalties weren't going to be big. But this album did go up to number 56. So, but anyway, yeah, so all songs are credited to Lou Reed.
Yeah.
And that's kind of a dicky thing. That's,
yeah, and that was the...
If you write the song after hearing that riff, you got to give that guy credit.
That was the final straw, because they had had... They're already bickering and from the last album, and then that was the final straw that made what's his Quine split.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. This
I just found out John Lennon ripped off a song from Zampa.
Look, I mean, it's going to happen, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so. Anyway, I'm sure Bags knows that story better than I do. He can tell it on here.
Hey, maybe I'll tell it sometime when I'm not drinking.
That's Michael Bagford, my impression of Bagford.
That's Bags?
Well,
you sound like the guy from The Simpsons.
Yeah, but I always say that Bags is drunk.
All right. So,
okay, sorry.
Why, that's the nicest guy who listens to this.
He is the nicest
and
guy.
And you ripped on his mom last time he was on here.
Why are you trying to bang my mom?
You brought mama Bags into the thing? It was ugly.
Hey, homie.
All right. New Sensations. This album is right at the top of these albums with me. I love Growing Up in Public, but this might be the most accessible.
Yeah, these are the next three. These next three are the ones I knew.
So the song I chose is Turn to Me.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds great, too.
That guitar sounds great.
If you give up major vices, you're between a hard place and a wall.
Why did he try...
And your car breaks down in traffic on the street.
Why did it take him this long to sing? He really sings on this one.
Remember, I'm the one who loves you.
The producer got a hold of him, you know?
And you can always give me a call. Turn to me.
Look, I can sing like that.
I was just thinking, you're actually not ruining the song.
No. It's hard to ruin these.
If your father is freebasing,
there's a lot more production on these.
Turning tricks.
Your mother's turning tricks.
That's still no reason you should have a rip.
You know whose mom he's talking about?
Mama Bags.
Remember,
come on, leave the poor guy.
I didn't say it.
You know who you're talking to. Julie, I apologize.
Could have said anyone. Why'd you say it?
Turn to me.
I think his name's Julie.
Look at the background vocalists.
Turn to me.
And now it kicks in here. After all that, now it really kicks in.
When your cheeks are ground down to the bone, and there's nothing between your legs.
Oh my God. Wow.
It's really good.
It's really good.
Again, interesting bass.
Look, if you bailed out before we get here, you're missing out.
Yeah,
right
you're
now.
Just.
Because this
just,
new sensations, you've got to
You're either
go
missing out
it.
Or you're M-Bags who got tired of talking about his mother.
Well, he bowed out just now.
Uh-huh.
You picked the two songs you picked were the songs I would have picked. Now, the good thing about this album is there was plenty of more to choose from. But these are the two I definitely would have picked. This song is really good. This one, your next one.
Okay.
Tell them what it is.
Oh, sorry. I'm looking up the bass player on this, but there's no bass player credited on.
Oh, and
Fernando
on
Saunders.
Is he on bass also?
Also on bass, yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's on string bass. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Backing vocals, Rory Dodd. I mean.
Oh, Saunders was with him for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Say what your song is.
He's still alive, by the way. Sorry, I was looking at Fernando Saunders. Where are we on?
Oh, Endlessly Jealous. 20 seconds.
Listen to that production. Sounds like a real album.
Yeah, yeah.
Jealousy endlessly sweeps through my mind. Jealousy often causes me to be unkind. I'm sorry I said that. I'm sorry I did that. I'm sorry I hit you. I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Endlessly jealous of you. Being endlessly jealous of me. The man that you thought I could be. Turning red with jealousy.
All right. A couple of things I want to go into right now. So when I bought this album, 1984, I was 20 years old. When did this come out? This was April 1984. Now, back then, when you bought an album, there was no way to listen to the album. You didn't know anything but the single,
yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
So I didn't know if I was buying a $8.99 single.
Mm-hmm.
But as this album went on, it was just such a joy to my ears that, oh, this is actually a really good album.
Yeah, yeah.
And another thing is the line in this Endlessly Jealous song where he's saying, I'm sorry I did that. I'm sorry I hit you. That line was so jarring to me as a 20-year-old. I was like, "What? Wait, he hit either his girlfriend or his wife. And that was like, and it just flies by there because it's like a pop song and it's upbeat. But yeah, to me, that line.
It's still a little shocking to hear today.
No, it is. It is. It's definitely. But as a 20-year-old who wasn't even thinking anything like a guy hitting a girl, I was just like, what the heck?
Did you know much about Lou Reed at that point?
No, not really. Not really.
Okay.
No.
I mean, it kind of fits. Because
to know about him, you would have to read about him. And where are you going to, I mean, he wasn't in Circus and Cream that much. I mean, there was no place to read about.
Right. Things. Tiger Beat. Wasn't it? That was what I was reading.
No.
I wasn't reading Tiger Beat. I just want to
pick whatever.
That was the teeny bopper thing.
He might have been.
Okay.
I'm not a jealous person.
Okay.
What about you?
No. It's a pointless emotion.
I mean, I'm just
or
not
feeling. I don't even know if it's an emotion.
I'm just not like, you know how some, like I used to hate when you would get booked at a comedy club back in the day when you were first starting out and someone would say, how'd you get booked?
Yeah.
It's like, well, fuck you. What do you mean? How did I get booked?
People are still asking how you got booked.
I know. I don't like that. I hate when people say that.
Right. Well, it's a fucking mean thing to say.
It's a fucking mean thing to say. It's first of all, you're immediately saying
you don't deserve it.
You don't deserve it. I'm better than you. Yeah. How did you do that? Mm-hmm. It's just like, you know, our friend Chip Chinnery, he has acted more than any of my friends.
Oh, absolutely.
And
he's definitely a that guy actor.
Yes. And I am so proud of him because he worked his ass off to get to that point. So I would never say, how the fuck did he get that? Why didn't I do that? Well, I can tell you why I didn't. I didn't even put in this much of the work that he did. This is the thing that I've worked the hardest at because I really love doing this. Yeah. I really love doing this. And some people have that drive. That I'm just going to, this is going to be, and some people, you know, sadly.
Have a different drive.
Yeah. So.
Now, I think in our business, it's really easy to be jealous.
It is.
Because I've caught myself.
If you want to be a jealous person, it's easy to be jealous.
I've caught myself literally going to do a show at the Improv. And then seeing somebody's name on the marquee at the Comedy Store. And I'm like, well, why am I not at the Comedy Store?
Well, you know?
But then I'm like, well, idiot, you're at the fucking Improv and you'll be at the Comedy Store in 2 weeks. So shut your fucking face.
So calm down.
But as far as relationships, like I never.
Yeah, never
I'm
jealous.
Not. Maybe
never.
When I was younger, but it's like I never understood those people who would call and beg the girlfriend or boyfriend to come back. Like,
don't, they don't want, why do you want to be in something that you're not wanted?
I just talked about this recently. When I first moved out here.
Listen, I know broken hearts are tough and we all have had a broken heart and we've made some mistakes.
Sure.
But
sure.
I'm just saying, I never understood, you know, it's that, why would I want to be part of a club yeah. that doesn't want me?
When That's I first moved out here, got a job as a tour guide at Universal Studios, started dating a fellow tour guide who was in my like graduating class. We got hired. They hire you.
By the way, this is, you've talked about this before. This is no easy feat to get this gig. Hundreds and hundreds
it's
of people
It's not an easy
it.
Feat. Thank you.
That's an impressive thing. Yeah. I don't think anybody really gives you your kudos. That's an thousands, not hundreds, thousands of people vie for that job.
It was, and then it's a 2-week training and audition process. Then you have to pass a written test and you have to pass the oral test.
Yeah.
As they go through the tour, you have to pass that. I'm gonna say this story again. I'm kind of going off on a tangent, but so pass the written test, and the final step is they go through the tour with a whole group of tour guides and randomly they'll go, okay, Murray, you're up now, and you have to stand up and you just have to start in on this part of the tour. So you really need to know the whole tour. You have to have it memorized. You have to be ready. I was not ready. I was not, I did not know all of the tour. So as we're, and if you don't pass the oral part, even though you went through all this part, you don't get hired. You can try again, but you don't get hired then. So there's only two people left. And we're coming up to a part that I do not know. I don't know it.
Right.
Like, I don't know it at all. And I'm just sitting there like, fuck. So as we get to that part, before they can even call on me, I think the other guy's name was Tom. Before they can even call on me and Tom, I stand up. And they immediately say, Pat, no. Tom's gonna, because they saw my exuberance.
Oh, look at you.
And I was like, fuck, that fucking worked.
Right.
And then the next part I knew.
Sure.
But I was like,
oh yeah. That's a risk, and it paid
off. It's a risk.
But you're so good. Like, I would imagine your charm and humor would have got you.
There's so many specific things
you have to nail.
You have to dates and, oh, Frankenstein was filmed here. And did you know that? And I'm just like, oh, Christ. So you were talking about girlfriends and breakups. So I was dating this girl and then I met Pilar and I don't cheat on a girl. I just break up with the girl if I want to date. So I met Pilar and I'm like, oh, I want to date Pilar. So I broke up with this girl and this is before cell phones, but she would come over to my apartment building and buzz from downstairs, the intercom. You don't know who it is. So you go, hello. Hi, it's, I'll just say her name. Hi, it's Kelly. Can we talk? And I would just go, I don't think that's a good idea, Kelly. And then buzz again. Can I please come up? No. Yeah. And look, I didn't want her coming up to the apartment.
Oh, yeah. Coming up to the apartment's a big step. It means things.
It means things. And what if she acts out? Or what if she breaks stuff? Or what if she, I don't know, anything. I'm done.
Right.
We had only been dating, you know, like 8 weeks or something. It wasn't super serious.
Yeah.
So that's it.
I dated a girl who lived 2 floors below me.
Below me?
Below me. below me. Or 2 floors above me.
Below me.
And she drove a Volkswagen Bug.
What was her name?
Do I have to say it?
Why not?
Her name was Stephanie.
Stephanie Blow Me?
Stephanie, no. But so like after we broke up and she like crushed me too. Like I went from not caring about her to really caring about her.
Who broke out up with who?
She broke out with me.
Yeah.
And then I'd have to hear her car because, you know, Volkswagens have that. Every night she came in. I'm like, oh, she's got a guy with her. Oh, that was like the only time.
And
I really
you'd hear the doors open and closing. So like a bunch of guys were getting out.
Oh yeah.
And it was like a clown car.
Yeah, a total clown car. Yeah. Oh, don't say that. Terrific. Poor Stephanie.
Terrific. That was your second song.
Yes.
Endlessly Jealous.
Endlessly Jealous.
You and I are not jealous.
We're not jealous folk.
Okay. People should be jealous of these t-shirts, though. All right.
Especially mine with the sleeves off.
I picked the title track for my second song. This is New Sensations.
Oh, okay. I thought we'd been on to Mistral already.
Listen to that bass.
I don't like guilt, stoned or stupid. Drunk and disorderly, I ain't no Cupid. 2 years ago today, I was arrested on Christmas Eve. I don't want pain, I want to walk, not be carried. I don't want to give it up, I want to stay married. I ain't no dog.
tied to a parked car. Ooh, new sensation.
I want to add one more thing about Robert Quine.
Uh-huh.
Despite their falling out, Quine still joined Reed on the world tour to support this album.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's like, well, I've got to make some money.
Got to make, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Probably made more money touring than he did for the royalties.
Well, that's the story, yeah, of Rick Wright. After he got fired out of Pink Floyd off at The Wall, and he made, yeah, more money on the tour than the rest of the band because, yeah, he was a hired gun.
Yeah. All right,
I don't think he was officially a member again until the Division Bell.
That's crazy, right?
Yeah.
1986, Mistrial, produced by Lou Reed, and now Fernando Saunders is stepping in.
This is one of my favorites for sure.
And again, the production's solid.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of Reuben Blades is on here. Jim Carroll is on here. Let's see what the reviews are. All Music, 3 out of 5. Chicago Tribune, 2.5 out of 4. A B from some guy, I can't pronounce his name. Kerrang weighs in.
Kerrang, the metal magazine?
Yeah, with 4 out of 5. And Rolling Stone, all it says is favorable.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
Yeah. But he tries some different stuff in, yeah, this one. And it's pretty cool. There's some cool videos. I don't know if they're cool videos, mm-hmm, but what's your first tune?
I picked the title track, Mistrial.
Mistrial. Here we go.
But don't you point your finger at me.
Maybe they didn't like all the, what's the word?
All the instrumentation.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe because it's definitely.
It's bombastic too.
I don't think I've ever heard you use that word.
I don't know if
I mean, it's night and day between this and the Blue Mask. You know what I mean?
It is. These two albums are putting him, he's trying to be in the mainstream as, yeah, much as he can be in the mainstream.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. I picked one of there's a video for this song and I picked it. It's one of the singles and this is No Money Down.
Oh, I forgot about this song.
Yeah.
I know you're disappointed in the way I handle things. You're thinking I misread the times and acted cowardly. And since why the two affects us both, and you feel that I let you down. You're paying a price when there's no price to pay. Love is trust. No money down. You're paying a price when there's no price to pay. It's a loveless trust. No money down.
I love the song when it came out. I don't know why, yes, I didn't pick this.
I'm glad you didn't.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm glad you didn't.
It's okay. Interesting. I wonder if, you know, everybody's heard my story a million times, so I won't go into it. But I wonder, because this is the era where I started discovering music. And so
because you weren't allowed to.
I wasn't allowed to listen to music, being the preacher's kid. And right. So the 80s had a lot of resurgence of what we call classic bands now,
yeah,
classic rock.
Right.
So I would hear this, and then I would immediately go back to the Velvet Underground and do that. So I miss those solo things. Like it did the, yeah, same thing with Paul McCartney. Went right back to the Beatles.
Yep.
You know, yes, you know.
And if you're just getting onto Paul McCartney or Lou Reed in 1986, there's so much music to go back to.
Oh, yeah.
So much.
Yeah, yeah. And at the time, there was really no we had one what we would call alternative station now, yeah, out of the East Coast. And it was out on Long Island and only my would-be girlfriend at the time could get it by putting her radio up in the corner of her bedroom.
It's ridiculous.
So we couldn't get it. So, yeah, so I would have to go to these classic rock stations and discover it through that.
What are you doing in your girlfriend's bedroom?
Listening to music.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Calm down.
All right.
Your second song, I believe there was a video for this song. The one that you picked, do you remember?
Oh,
and this was a single too.
Okay, here's
The original rapper?
The original rapper.
All right, here's...
But it's rapper, it's W.
I don't think they knew how to spell it back then.
I don't think they did either.
And here's
Is he rapping presents? That would have been cool if in the video he was just... He was like in Santa's workshop dressed as an elf, and he's rapping gifts.
He's trying to sing all those elf songs, and people are like, this guy can't sing.
No, he's terrible.
But a ton of white guys did some version of rap at this point, and it was not nearly as successful as Debbie Harry and Blondie's Rapture.
No.
Brian Wilson did one. It's fucking terrible.
It's so bad.
It's probably the best white guy rapping is Jim Belushi,
Eminem,
and Joe Piscopo doing the white guy rap on Saturday Night Live. At this point, because they were making fun of it,
right,
which is basically what. But here's the only classic Lou Reed. He's such a terrible singer that this actually works.
Yeah, it does.
It actually works, which you can't say about the Brian Wilson or the other ones, because he's basically rapping anyway. He's basically speaking as he sings anyway. So this kind of works.
All right, let's hear it. The original rapper.
Really funky too, right? That rhythm track.
I was sitting home on the West End watching KTV with a female friend. We were watching the news, the world's in a mess. Poor and the hungry world in distress. Herpes and AIDS, the Middle East full throttle. Check that salt before you put it in the waffle. And while you're at it, check what's in the batter. Make sure the candy's the original wrapper. Hey, pitcher, better check that batter. Make sure the candy's the original wrapper.
Let me ask you this. Do you think Tom Neuerberg's still with us right now? He's not, is he?
I think he had a heart attack when he found out I went to a baseball game.
and I was with you. Okay, I'm going to play a couple of guys white rapping.
Okay.
It's really good.
Oh, here we go. All right.
I'm going to play this in its entirety. It's Chris Parnell and Andy Samberg.
Oh, is this
Lazy Sunday?
Oh, so great.
It's so great.
Lazy Sunday, wake up in the late afternoon. Call Parnell just to see how he's doing.
Hello,
what up, Parn?
Yo, Samberg, what's crackin'?
You thinking what I'm thinking?
Party up!
Man, it's happening.
Reverse my hunger pains, I'm sticking like duct tape.
Just hit up Magnolia and Mac on some cupcakes.
No doubt that bakery's got all about Bob Frosty.
I love those cupcakes like McAdams loves Gosling.
Gosling,
Gosling,
Gosling.
2-0-6! 0-12! Baker's
cousin!
I told you that I'm crazy for this cupcake's cousin!
Yo, where's the movie play at?
Upper West Side, dude!
Well, let's hit up Yahoo Maps to find that dopest route!
I prefer MapQuest!
That's a good one, too!
Google Maps is the best!
True that!
Double true! 68 to Broadway!
Step on it, sucker!
What you wanna do, Chris?
Snack attack, motherfucker! The crying what goes of Narnia!
Snack attack, motherfucker!
Narnia!
We love that crying what goes of Narnia!
Pass that chronic what kills of
This
Narnia.
Is so well written. It's filmed and performed. The whole thing is a joy.
Don't stop at that deli. The theater's overpriced.
You got that backpack. Gonna pack it up nice. Don't want security to get suspicious.
Mr. Pittman Red Vines equals crazy delicious.
Your rings in my pocket. Pull out some dough.
Girl acting like she never seen a 10 before.
It's all about the Hamiltons, baby.
Throw the snacks in a bag.
And I'm ghost like Swayze.
Good. It's right. So great.
It's so good. It's Andy, so good. It's on YouTube, everyone. Go find it.
Samberg was on the stand-up scene out here when I was starting out, and I had him on a Comedy Central show I did, and then he's just one of those stories where the next day, he's fucking huge.
He's fucking huge.
And the Lonely Island, they know how to do it. That's, if you're going to be a comedy musical act, you have to have musical chops.
Yes.
You know, these people who, like these guitar comics get shit on all the time in stand-up, and I'm not against a guitar comic.
I wish I could play guitar, because I think that would have been my thing in comedy. Because I just love silly songs and, you know, just fun. I just love that stuff.
Yeah, but if you look at the most successful music, Tenacious D, Lonely Island, Spinal Tap,
Sandler, like, is a good
Sandler's
guitarist.
A good guitar. Yeah. They come from the musical point,
right,
and then make the comedy,
right.
And a lot of these guys make the comedy and then throw it behind three chords. Anyway, that's my soapbox for today.
Now, there's a parody of Lazy Sunday.
Okay,
it's from The Office.
Okay,
I believe it's called Lazy Scranton.
Okay,
and this is Steve Carell.
Is this a parody of a parody?
Well, Lazy, I don't know if that's a parody then. Exactly.
Well, Lazy Sunday is original.
Yeah, so it's not a parody.
So this is a parody of that.
Let's okay, so it's just a parody.
All right. This is Steve Carell and Rainn Wilson. This is as Dwight Schrute
okay.
and Michael Scott. And they make their own video. Here we go. You've never heard this.
No, it's never an American Office fan.
Call a man flat.
Oh, I'm going to start it over. Hold on. Because you missed that first line.
Sitting in my office with a plate of grilled bacon. Call a man flat just to see what was shaking.
Yo, Mike, our town is dope and pretty.
So check out how we live.
In the Electric City.
They call it Scranton.
What?
The Electric City.
Scranton.
What?
The Electric City.
Lazy Scranton, the Electric City. They call it that because of the electricity.
The city's laid out from east to west. And our public parks and libraries are truly the best. Call poison control if you're bit by a spider.
But check that it's covered by your health care provider.
Plenty of space in the parking lot. But the little cars go in the compact spot. Spot. Spot! 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 Spot!
Snack attack time!
Don't lose your head!
We like Cucinos for the tasty bread! They call it Scranton!
What?
The Electric City!
Scranton!
What? The Electric City!
Scranton!
What?
The Electric City!
Scranton!
What?
The Electric City!
Scranton!
What?
I love Steve Carell. I love Steve
Carell. Is so dang funny.
I never, you know, it's funny. I just saw an interview with Ricky Gervais, who I fucking love and hate at the same time.
I understand.
Ricky Gervais.
I agree.
I fucking hate him and I fucking love him.
Yeah.
But somebody asked him in an interview, what was the difference between David Brent, the original boss in The Office, and he said, I think the main difference is in America, when you're growing up, you're taught to believe you can be president of the United States. And in England, we're taught you're not going to succeed at anything. Don't bother to try. And that's the difference between the two.
Wow.
I thought about that for hours.
That's dark.
Right?
All right. One more song from Mistrial, and it's called Outside.
Okay. That's you.
And by the way, we're just an hour and 18 minutes in. We're moving along.
That's not bad. Nice we'll be right. Yeah, I might actually be able to.
I'm sure we can burn through 52 minutes of nonsense, but we won't. We're not going to.
No, let's play more Saturday Night Live stuff.
That was fun. You didn't think that was fun?
Oh, I thought it was great.
By the way, I am jealous. I'm jealous of Steve Carell. No, I'm kidding. Okay,
I'll tell you this.
What?
I worked with Steve Carell one time.
And?
Fucking great.
Okay, good.
Hilarious. Nice. Like, we didn't ask him to do the second year. And he was like, because he had just got The Office.
So happy. And he was a good guy.
And he was like, I mean, you guys could have asked. We're like, you're on the biggest fucking sitcom. Why do you want to do this little shit Comedy Central thing? So we got Colbert instead.
Okay. That's great, though. I'm so glad he's... It's the worst when you hear someone is a fucking dick.
Dude, this was a fake telethon we did for Saturday Night for Comedy Central for Thanksgiving. It was great. It was one of my funnest things I've ever done. And Carell was hosting, and they did my first sketch that I wrote. And the writers and the producers sit at a table on these kind of four camera things. And I'm fucking dying. Like, I'm laughing so hard. And people are like, well, somebody thinks they're funny. You're laughing at your own shit. And I'm like, no, man, it's him.
Yeah.
Like, this is my least favorite thing I've ever written. And he's bringing life to it, man. He's making it hilarious. Like, no, it's all him. I know how I look, but no, it's him. I'm laughing at him.
That's good. I'm so glad he's a great guy. All right, Mistrial, my song is Outside.
Outside, the world's a mindless child outside. Outside reflects the worst of styles outside. Inside, when you're in my arms, a mindless child is still to be born.
All right, so we got two accessible albums for the people that are not super into Lou Reed, New Sensations and Mistrial.
Yeah, and I really like Mistrial a lot. I like New Sensations a lot.
Yeah, good albums.
Yeah, yeah.
So right now, we really just don't like the Blue Mask.
Yeah, I would listen to any other one anytime. And I listen to all these. I listened to these T2B a couple times over the last, when did you email me, like a week and a half ago?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I fucking made sure I had them. I listened to top to bottom, so... I'll listen to all of them again, except Blue Mass, probably.
Yeah. T to B, top to bottom.
Mm-hmm.
All right. This next one now, he takes This is longest gap within the albums we're talking about. It's New York. And this is when I think he tries to lean in more to lyrically and stuff like he did in the 70s.
Yes,
I think he was trying to now regain his old cred. I'm going to take 3 years away from these more poppy, accessible mm-hmm. albums, and I'm going to try to get back to basics a little bit more. Mm-hmm. But he now knows how to, the production is still fantastic.
And this is still gritty New York City era too. This is pre-Giuliani. So this is still, you know, hookers and blow by where the Eminem store is in Times Square now.
Yep. And after like five albums that I think are all pretty much 10 songs, this one, a few more songs, this one has 14 songs. And now I know this one was super critically acclaimed.
Oh, I would have. Yeah, because this is the only one that really charted out of the 80s.
Let me see. Okay, here we go. AllMusic, 5 stars out of 5. Chicago Tribune, 4 out of 4. Mojo, 4 out of 5. New Music Express, 10 out of 10. Mm. Pitchfork, 8.7 out of 10. 8.7, just decide.
Pitchfork's been around that long?
What's the 0.3 that kept it from 9 out of 10?
I didn't realize Pitchfork's been around that long.
Q Magazine, 5 out of 5. Rolling Stone, 4 out of 5. Spin, 4.5 out of 5. Uncut, 8 out of 10. Village Voice, A-.
Whoa.
A-.
Oh.
All right, so what's your first song from New York?
Romeo Had Juliet. This is a great song.
It is. Romeo Had Juliet.
Again, opening track, if I'm not mistaken.
I think you're right. And Juliet is spelled T-T-E at the end. Yeah, Romeo Had Juliet.
Again, all his opening tracks are good on all these albums, which is interesting.
Caught between the twisted stars, the plotted lines, the faulty map that brought Columbus to New York.
See, now the singing is more like the 70s.
The east west,
he calls on her wearing
but he also has that earth squeals and shudders musicality, what'd you call it? Instrumentation?
Yeah.
A diamond crucifix in his ear is used to help ward off the fear that he has left his soul in someone's rented car. Inside his pants, he hides a mop to clean the mess that he has dropped into the life of lightsome Juliet Bell. And Romeo wanted Juliet. And Juliet wanted Romeo. And Romeo wanted Juliet. And Juliet wanted Romeo.
All right. Pretty great. Pretty great stuff from New York. I like the cover, too. He's on the cover like five times.
I don't think I realized that was him.
Different characters.
Until I went back and watched it. Because I thought two of them were him and then the rest was the band. But it's all him.
And he's probably characters from songs from this album.
Sure.
I'm sure someone that knows this album, you know, inside and out, can tell me everything. I'm going with Dirty Boulevard.
The single.
Which was the single. And Dirty Boulevard.
Huge MTV play.
And U.S. Alternative, it went to number one.
But it didn't go very far in the Hot 100.
No, it didn't even chart.
Oh, it didn't even like get like 50-something or something?
No,
oh, okay.
No, nothing. But I started with... I love all the verses, but I started with the second verse.
Okay. I like that guitar riff in the beginning, though.
It's really good. Burn, 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 burn.
This room costs $2,000 a month. You can believe it, man. It's true. Somewhere a landlord's laughing until he wets his pants.
That's
no
the one you picked?
No one dreams of being a doctor or a lawyer or anything. They dream of dealing on the dirty boulevard.
No hope.
Give me your hungry. You're tired, you're poor, I'll piss on him. That's what the Statue of Bigotry says.
Statue of Bigotry.
He uses that quite a bit.
Yeah.
Your poor huddled masses, let's club them to death and get it over with and just dump them on the boulevard. Get them out.
A lot has not changed since this song.
Going out.
That's true.
To the dirty boulevard. They're going down on the dirty boulevard. Going out.
Those drums are fantastic. That snare drum. Who's playing drums on this?
I'm looking up the play right now.
Are you looking up the instrumentation? Fred Mayer or Marr is on drums on most of the songs. Mo Tucker does some percussion.
Has he been on Sire this whole time?
No. This is.
He switched early on and then he switched again, right?
This is Sire. This is his first album on Sire after being back on RCA. RCA, Arista, RCA, Sire. And I think he stayed on Sire for a while. He seemed like a Sire artist, to be honest. That sounded like a good fit.
Okay.
Pretenders were on Sire, Ramones.
Mike Rathke on guitar has that guitar, and that guitar tone and feel is so through good. This whole album.
Yeah.
And in every song.
Wonder if he got any writing credits.
And Rob Wasserman is now on bass. You know who sings back up on this? I forgot.
No, tell me.
Dino DiMucci.
Dion. Not Dino.
We call him Dino in the Italian world.
Do you?
Yeah.
Dion. Yeah, he sings background vocals. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. Dion DiMucci.
Dino.
All right. your final song.
Oh, Busload of Faith?
Yes.
I love this song when I back in the day. I think I might like this album again better.
Can't depend on your friend.
It's pretty solid.
Yeah.
Again, stay away from the blue mask.
You can't depend on it. You can't depend on intelligence. You can't depend on God.
Earlier, I was bouncing my feet so much that Murray thought there was an earthquake.
Yeah, really. We've been having a lot over here lately.
We have, sadly.
Watch it, baby. Busload of faith you get by. Busload of faith you get by. Busload of faith you get by. Need a busload of faith to get by.
Oh, man. I'm probably going to have to pick two of these albums to take. I'm going on a ship next week.
You got to.
And I'm going to have to bring these. I really, really enjoyed
this. Now, when you say
these.
You have to pick them, how are you taking them with you?
On my phone.
On your phone. Mm-hmm. So you're just going to put them in. Why don't you put all of them in there? All
six? But I usually pick an album, a couple albums. Okay. Like I got it. Not a Surf released an album last week. I got to take that with me.
Do you have AirPods that go in your ears? What do you have?
Headphones.
Headphones but are Bluetooth.
No, I don't like that.
So you have headphones that plug into your phone.
Uh-huh.
Let me see your phone. Well, how do you, they plug in the bottom? Let me see.
Whatever that port is.
Okay. So you have to have an adapter though that plugs in.
No. I guess
your headphones.
Good. They're Apple headphones.
All right, cool.
Those Bluetooth are way too expensive and I'll lose them.
Yeah.
And B, they fall out of my ear when I run.
Everyone I know has those. I don't.
I don't like them.
These are Bluetooth. Like I can,
really?
Yeah. Okay. I can use these.
No, I used to, now I have earbuds, but I used to run. I looked like a fucking DJ behind the turntables on a treadmill with these giant fucking cans on my head.
I can pair these with my TV and watch TV while I wear these headphones.
Cool.
It is, except I don't like to do it when I'm home alone because then I can't hear anything. Someone could break in.
Oh, sure.
No one's going to break in.
Right.
But I wouldn't be able to hear them if they did.
Yeah. How disappointed would they be if they broke in? Like, who the fuck? Why is this guy obsessed with the Captain and Tennille?
This guy doesn't have anything.
We can't sell. Can anybody
two Beatles mugs? What?
Can anybody resell Who I Am by Pete Townsend, the book? No, I don't think so.
I'm going to dedicate this next one to you. This is my last one from New York. This is called Sick of You.
No, all right. Well, that's
I was up in the morning with the TV blaring, brush my teeth, sitting, watching the news. All the beaches were closed, the ocean was a red sea, but there was no one there to part it in two. There was no fresh salad, cause there's hypers in the cabbage. Staten Island disappeared at noon. And they say the Midwest is in great distress, and NASA blew up the moon. The ozone layer has no ozone anymore, and you're gonna leave me for the guy next door. I'm sick of you. I'm sick of you.
I wonder if this is the same girl he was jealous about.
Yeah, I guess
probably
so.
Probably the same one.
All right. Now I have a playout song, but let's wrap it up nicely. Look, 90 minutes.
That's great.
90 minutes.
That's awesome. That's great. I can actually do something before I pick up Frank.
There's nothing to edit out. Normally, you give me a look sometime during the show and go, got to get rid of that. And then I write down a time code. But today, none of that.
Yeah.
Let's not blow it.
So I'm uncomfortable talking about Stephanie, but
I'm not cutting out Stephanie. I couldn't even find that if I wanted to. I would literally, the one time Murray wanted me to take something out and I sent him the file and I said, you have to find it.
Yeah.
Because I can't.
Yeah.
Wasn't that. Now, when you listened, because I know you don't listen to the show.
Oh, I do, actually.
Oh.
I listen to...
But when you listen to your own episode, were you laughing? Because I find it weird when I listen to something that I haven't heard and I laugh at something I said myself. That seems weird.
Yeah, I probably don't listen to mine. I listen when you have Siegel on and Schmitty and Christy. Yeah. Like, I listen to the original crew the most, but I rarely listen to myself.
Schmitty is a dynamo. on the show.
Oh, he's...
It's just insane. Always two files are opened up.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
No, Schmitty's a fucking...
Let's promote
powerhouse.
It. Where can we find you? What do you want us to buy? Do you have buttons? Do you have a t-shirt? What do you need from us?
All my merch is out, so I got to re-up on all that. I have to find a new sticker place.
Yes.
I have to find a new... So if anybody
has... Did you use Sticker Mule also?
I use Sticker Mule. And I'm not even upset that the guy was asking for donations for Trump. I'm upset that he was asking for donations, period. I'm not coming to you for politics, dude.
Yeah.
I'm coming to you for fucking stickers.
Yeah, I didn't want that email that said, guess who I'm supporting?
Yeah.
Well, I'm immediately out. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
I mean, not even know your audience. Know how to run a business.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't...
And I got to be honest, great company.
Yeah.
For what I needed. Always great. The product's great. It arrived quickly. If there was a problem with it, you could email them and they would reprint
always
it.
Always had great deals.
Always had great deals, but I can't do it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not even so much that he differs in my political beliefs. I don't come. We're so inundated with politics right now.
Yeah.
I'm out. Like, I'm almost out on this conversation. I don't even like talking about this.
Yeah, I don't either, but we're keeping it. But here's the thing. When I get an email from the candidates I do support and they want my money, I don't give them money. So I'm not going to give a company money that I know is giving money to the candidate I don't like. I'm not going to do that.
Well, also, when I get texts from them, it's from them.
Yeah.
It's not from my t-shirt place.
Right.
It's not from the restaurant I went to. You know, like. Yeah.
Also, I am in the Ted Nugent fan club, so I know that what I'm saying is not going to.
Are you
go
still
over
in the fan club?
Of course, I mean, never was. I'm in one fan club. Cheap Trick.
Oh, well, that's fair.
What am I? I'm member 436.
Okay.
Or it might be 431.
All right.
I have a ID card and everything.
I'm in U2s, but I don't know where I'm at on that. Nothing to really to promote.
Okay.
I'm on Murray V Comedy at Instagram. I still have an account at Twitter. I rarely use it. And Facebook.
What's happening with For What It's Worth?
I'm waiting for another live date from the Improv.
What about doing some film ones and that you used to put up?
I might, but that's
lot of work.
It's not, and it's not just me. I'm asking a lot of people to give up a lot of their time. Mm-hmm. And God, dude, if I had the money, I would fucking do it every week as I could pay these guys. But I feel about, you know, Walker's a fucking successful.
Yeah.
He owns his own AV business. He runs hotels. Hey man, can you come and do, you know, I feel bad.
Yeah.
And, you know, I got Dave Festini will help me out sometimes. Carrie Scott will help me out sometimes. I feel bad asking these people, you know,
it is hard and it's, and these things are a lot of work.
And then it's so funny when
but it's fun too.
Oh, I love it, man. I love it. And the guys and everybody watches
it. What if you stripped it down and didn't care as much about how it looked? Or how it was edited. What if you just freeballed it a little bit?
I can't.
Fucking go balls out.
I can't.
All right. I get it.
All right.
We are at Rock Solid Show on Twitter and at Rock Solid Show on Instagram. Thanks always to Lisa Solak, who is our Instagram queen.
80s Lisa.
Thank you to Jason Levy, Daryl Asher, Travis Kennedy, David Harvey. Forgetting someone. These are the people that do the Facebook artwork.
Oh, I didn't know.
On a weekly basis.
I don't know what's his face.
And I ask them to do it, and they can always say they're too busy. But, and Kyle Hildreth. Oh my God, Kyle Hildreth.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Yeah, you know, they can always say they're too busy, but they never do. Mm-hmm. And they don't get enough credit because the Facebook artwork is different and it's changed every week. And thank you to Kyle Dotson for keeping up RockSolidPodcast.com and for making the celebrity guest tiles. And
Kyle's great, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah, he's good work for you.
I call him all the time and he always delivers.
So so that's it. That's all the things. And
I pay him. I'm not a cheapskate like
come on. He's gotten a lot out of me.
He's family. You don't have to pay family.
He lived here for 2.5 years.
You don't have to pay family.
Free. If he needed money, I'd give him money. And again, not ramming it down your throat, but patreon.com/rocksolidpodcast. I'm looking up at the prize wall right now. I have Iron Maiden books. I have Fleetwood Mac books. I have Chris Stein's autobiography. I have it's like a Hardy Boys mystery, but with the Gallagher brothers.
Sounds really interesting.
I have Black Country Communion CDs. I have Phil Mogg has a new band called Mogg's Motel. I have two of his CDs. And I got a Dave Grohl book. I got a Geezer Butler book. I got an Immediate Family Blu-ray. I got a ton of stuff. So there's I never promised to do prizes weekly, mm-hmm. but for some reason, I've been able to almost do them weekly. Mm-hmm. I have a nice coffee table book called Rush at 50. And so lots of stuff. So patreon.com/rocksolidpodcast for as little as $2 a month, which is 50 cents a week. Embarrassing. Mm-hmm. You can get involved in the monthly episodes and you can win prizes. Mm. So
I'm a member.
There's other tiers. I know. So it's all good. So with that, Murray, thank you so much.
Oh, thanks for having me. Always fun.
And I'm going to go with another song from New Sensations. This is My Red Joystick.
Oh, yeah. What's his face plays on that?
Who?
The Quine, I think.
Oh, great. Let's hear it. 1, 2, 3, 4.
First bite, apple, maybe small. Second bite, told her how to break man's heart. The third bite, told her how to strut her stuff. But she never got to the fourth bite, says enough's enough. Enough is enough, baby, I've had enough of you. You can keep your dresses, you can keep your jewels, you can keep the color TV, those soaps just make me sick. All I'm asking you to leave me is my red joystick. My red joystick, my red joystick. All I'm asking you to leave me is my red joystick. My red joystick, my red joystick. All I'm asking you to leave me is my red joystick. That's how I got murdered by Cain. Abraham gave up his son to keep his wife away. And even the Lord Almighty, speaking from the trenches to the pit, spoke for all mankind when he said, take the Porsche, take the kids, take the Scots, baby, take the rugs, take those roses from my poor heart. Please, please, please leave me my red joystick. Leave me my red joystick. Leave me my red joystick. Up, stewed apples, knew how to have a good time. She came into the bedroom, raised her skirts up high. She says, "A little knowledge is a dangerous thing, baby. Give me a piece before I die." Hey, Eve, take a bite of my apple. I know you think you're pretty slick. One thing with the ask you to
do. Hey, it's Murray Valeriano.
All right.
Went back to bed after I dropped my kid off to school today.
Do you just like zombie out of bed in whatever you have on?
Pretty much, man.
Do you have to get any, breakfast ready?
No, Mary does that before she goes to work.
Fuck right.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right.
And so, yeah.
All right, you ready?
Uh-huh.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Rock Solid, the comedy podcast for all things music, both new and classic. I'm Pat Francis.
I'm Murray Valeriano. This might be the last time I say that in the rock room. All right.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Rock Solid, the comedy podcast for all things music, both new and classic. I'm Pat Francis.
And I'm Murray Valeriano, and I'm glad to be here.
I thought you were going to say it like you did earlier in the miss
cue. All right, try it again.